If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Before we start tonight, let me say something that I'm sure is very obvious to you who watch my show. And thank you for that. You're straight with me, I'll be straight with you. Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. And obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother. Now, of course, CNN has to cover it. They have covered it extensively, and they will continue to do so. I have always cared very deeply about these issues, and profoundly so. I just wanted to tell you that. There's a lot of news going on that matters also, so let's get after that.
He can't talk about his brother because it's his brother. I'm just messing with everything here. He can't talk about his brother because it's his brother.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm to understand?
Yeah. I have questions.
But yeah. What are your questions, Kane? Please feel free to ask.
Right now, okay. My questions are: what, where, why was he covering it with his? He had his brother on during this COVID thing when he was doing daily pressers. Like that's all he had on was his brother for weeks.
Right.
So why wasn't that the standard then?
Well, and wasn't he like I just are they going to have him? Are they going to talk about this at all on their network? Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. So let me just kind of set you up for today because I was really struggling with how I was stacking the show today. Because everything is about cancel culture. Everything. It's like potatoes and syrup and cream of wheat.
Plastic potatoes.
Plastic potatoes. Sorry, plastic potatoes. Everything's absolutely everything is just being canceled. And then of course Dr. Seuss. It's like reading day. What day is this? It's like and Amazon's their app icon, because everybody's offended over everything. Everything is offended over everything. So, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Just let me paint a picture. Oh, you're going to see this when you get the prep email tonight. You paid subscribers at Chapter and Verse. So hold on to your butts because you think I'm exaggerating. Wait until you get my prep tonight. So when I look at, it's what, a full page of headlines.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, a Mao-esque cultural revolution. We're going to ban everything that we're going to redefine terms, and then we're going to ban all the things. That's what we're going to do. We're going to ban everything. Any tradition, any ideology, any belief, anything that is in any way and interrupting or a challenge to what these modern day cultural revolutionaries believe is going to be canceled. Now, let me pull this straight. Let's start with the latest, which is Amazon. Amazon announced that they are tweaking their app icon after comparisons were made to Hitler. I am not exaggerating. So, you know, are you guys familiar with the little Amazon app icon? So it's like a, what is it, a manila, a cardboard color, yeah. square, yeah. rounded edges. Smile. And the arrow is a smile. And then it has like a blue ribbon on the top of it.
It's like packing tape.
Oh, packing tape. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, that makes sense. So it's supposed to be like a box.
Yeah.
I never cared enough, but there you go. So it's a box. And it has a jagged piece of tape. You know, like the crafting. What are they? I don't know what pattern that is. The up, down, up, down. I don't know. Hell. But everyone said that the jagged piece of tape looked like Hitler's mustache above the arrow smile. Oh, my gosh. I'm really trying here. Are we being punked?
Feels like it.
So they said that the jagged blue tape is the Führer's mustache. And one person said, it looks like a happy little cardboard Adolf. It's not just ripped scotch tape. I'm reading literally a tweet from some verified nobody. It's a ripped scotch tape, and it has a similar shape, and it's right on top of a smiling mouth. Someone else said, there's no way this is accidental. It looks exactly like Hitler's mustache. Hitler's mustache was blue?
No.
And he was the color of a box? And they said that someone else said Amazon's app is the third most downloaded in the Reich section. So then they quietly tweaked their logo to make it look less Hitler-y. You really have to. I mean, I would have never have looked at this and thought, Hitler. But I guess I'm not obsessed with Nazi iconography the way that people on the left are. I'm not. So that's the first thing. So then let's go next to Joe Biden and Dr. Seuss. So the Read Across America Day, I remember. Now, this was started in 1998, but I remember when I was in elementary school in the mid to late 80s. I remember we would have, and I think it was part of with the Book It program. There was like one day where you celebrated like your favorite book or something like that. And I remember my teacher decorating the entire front door of her classroom and making it look like a Cat in the Hat book cover, which I thought was really cool. And we did, I remember the Book It thing and all that stuff. I started that. I think I even logged a Cat in a Hat book with, or a Dr. Seuss book with that. So the Read Across America Day officially was started by the National Education Association in 1998 as a way to promote children's reading. And the president removed mentions of Dr. Seuss from Read Across America Day amid accusations of quote-unquote racial undertones in the classic. And in his proclamation, according to USA Today, he said that for many Americans, the path to literacy begins with story time, blah, 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 blah. But he didn't mention Dr. Seuss, whereas Trump and Obama both did. And so I can't believe I'm going to do this to you. God love you. We're fellowshipping today, everybody. Because I'm actually going to look at the math of diversity by percentage in Dr. Seuss's. That's how stupid everything is. That's how it's dumb. It's that dumb. So people were saying that they conducted a study on his work. And they said that there was a lack of diversity amongst the author's characters. Oh, for the love, most of the characters in his books are either entirely made up creatures or animals.
True.
So I am confused officially. Just pointing this out for a friend. So they said that of the 2,240 identified characters, they said there are 45 characters of color representing 2% of the total number of human characters. This is a 2019 study from the Conscious Kids Library and the University of California. They examined 50 Dr. Seuss's books, which, why? And then a Virginia school district last week ordered its teachers to avoid connecting Read Across America Day with Dr. Seuss because of recent research that allegedly revealed strong racial undertones in many of the author's books. What? And yeah, what? So, yeah, this is literally where we are right now. I'm really shocked about all of this. So in looking at the breakdown, there was a very interesting piece over at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's by Maureen Downing. It was written just a couple of days ago. And they said that it was a, the headline was Parents as Racist Imagery in Dr. Seuss Book Shouldn't Be Centerpiece of Celebrated Reading. And they said that the 2019 study found just 2% of Dr. Seuss's human characters were people of color and that they were reduced to racist caricatures. And they, this author, or the woman of this byline, she gave her history with it, but then they started looking at what was he writing about, et cetera, et cetera. Here's something to keep in mind. And the birth date of what's his name? The guy who's Dr. Seuss. He was born in 1904. Now, the way that I understand it, because this is affecting like six books, and Theodore Geisel is his name, or Geisel probably is the correct way to say it. The spin and the AJC spin and everything else is that, oh, he's not canceled, but six of his books are shelved over racist images. They said that they portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. There was a Japanese, and they were really upset with the way that the Japanese characters were drawn. Now, here's where I want to point something out to you. Ted Geisel was born in 1904. When he was an adult, that's when you had World War I and World War II. He lived through both of these. And in fact, he also created some pretty interesting World War II propaganda, I'd point out. The way that I understand it, and here are the six titles, it says, "And to think I saw it on Mulberry Street, If I Ran the Zoo, McElligot's Pool, and Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and the Cat's Quizzer." The way that specifically with and the researchers said that they had trouble with characteristics aligning with the definition of Orientalism. And there were apparently two African characters, according to these researchers. From what I understand, and I think that this was, if you look at Warner Brothers, and if you go back and you look at some of the content that was from the generation that was born in the early 1900s and lived through World War I and World War II. And from what I have read of other individuals that are being intellectually honest and look, no matter what you think of it, the issue is that many of his books, first off, celebrated diversity and were more diverse for their time than others. I mean, what was it? The Starbelly Sneetches was one of them. But the depictions of this, he was criticizing imperialist Japan because this was during World War I and World War II. Almost, there were so many things in American culture at the time that adopted that same sort of artistic criticism, for the lack of a better way to put it, that no one could have foreseen here in 2021 how things would be. No one is incorporating that nuance into this. And people are terrified to bring that up because it's presented as though you're making excuses for all of this. We're going to talk more about this because there is a lot. Meanwhile, you can still get the Communist Manifesto. So I haven't even, they're going after Curious George. No one's talking about canceling Roald Dahl, by the way, and he was a raging anti-Semite. And I say this as someone who grew up as a huge Roald Dahl fan until I realized what his actual beliefs were. And then I was like, I'm not putting these books on my shelf. So no one's canceling him. By the way, notice how ain't nobody canceling Coco Chanel either. Oh no, ladies out there with their Chanel handbags. Ain't nobody canceling Coco Chanel, but why don't you go back and look at what her beliefs were? We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today because it's cancel culture day. So you don't want to miss it. And of course, we're going to talk to Georgia governor a little bit later on about the coronavirus governor's responses, all kinds of stuff. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
You know, we had a little have to do a little hat tip there. You know, we got to. All right. So the U.S. has announced sanctions on Russia over poisoning and jailing of the opposition leader, Alexei Navalny. And you remember the story. He flew back to Russia and just right back into the lion's den. And of course, Putin and Russian police met him at the airport, and apparently even some of his supporters were detained. So now the Biden administration has announced punitive sanctions on senior Russian government figures over the poisoning of Navalny and reiterated a demand that he be released from detention. The sanction blocks access to financial or other assets in the United States for 7 top figures around Russian President Vladimir Putin. Also, the former, speaking of another foreign leader, well, former leader, former French President Nicolas Sarkozy was sentenced to prison. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison, 2 years suspended after a court found him guilty on corruption and influence peddling charges. In a Monday afternoon ruling, the court agreed with prosecutors that former president formed a corruption pact with his lawyer, Terry Herzog, and senior magistrate to secure a job for the magistrate in exchange for providing info on an investigation into Sarkozy. Interesting. And Gary Sinise launches a mental health network for vets and first responders. Awesome. Stick with us. Cancel culture coming up still.
Hey, everyone. The left is always trying to tell us how terrible America is and how it needs to be transformed. I'm here to tell you how great America is and why we need to preserve it. I'm Sarah Carter. And on the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll tell you why I was so encouraged by my visit to CPAC and the great people in this country determined to preserve our freedoms. On each episode, we'll expose the leftist agenda targeting your liberties and how you can keep what matters most to you. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
I'll say, to Claire's point, I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male these days. Light of what I see of my other white males saying, but it just shows that with very few exceptions like Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, there are so few Republicans in Congress who value truth, honesty, and integrity.
You know what? It's okay, John Brennan. We're also embarrassed about you being a white male. We're embarrassed for you too. Just FYI. Hi guys. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. DanaLash.com. And make sure you go subscribe to Chapter and Verse. So John Brennan admits, he says, I am increasingly embarrassed to be a white dude these days for some reason. I would think that he would be more embarrassed about being a liar in the CIA that spied on staffers who were simply reporting on the CIA's torture methods. I would think that is what John Brennan would be embarrassed about, having lied to the American people about what he was actually doing at the CIA. No, he's not embarrassed because he spied on Senate staffers. He's not embarrassed because he abused the power of his office to spy on people trying to hold accountable his department. No, he's embarrassed because he's white. That's like his get out of jail pass. Instead of having to answer for the fact that he's a lying spy and he abused his authority as a lying liar and spied on private citizens who trying to hold him accountable, as is their right, because he, the only reason he has any authority at all whatsoever is because of the consent of the governed. He decides to say, no, it's okay because I'm embarrassed about being white, guys. I can spy on people because of this, because I'm embarrassed about being white. He's just an embarrassment, period. I mean, John Brennan represents absolutely every single caricature about government, big government, that you could possibly make. He's just an old fool. That just, when I heard him say that, I did get a little chuffed. Saying. But have you noticed that that's kind of the par for the course here? This is the penance that we'll pay, right? I'm curious. Why is it that some things are considered acceptable and some aren't? Now, I was thinking about this. So the cancel culture, they're going after Curious George, and I'm going to get into that. But going after Dr. Seuss, because they said Dr. Seuss had some, in what, six of his titles had some problematic imagery, and he's a big old racist or something to that effect. Some of the images that he had in some of his earlier books, as I was saying, he was born in 1904. He had World War I and World War II. It was actually, it was propaganda, critical propaganda of Japanese imperialism. And he absolutely did make World War II propaganda. So that needs to be considered as factored into this. It was an entirely different era. It was acceptable back in those days to make fun of, you know, Nazis and like how Warner Brothers did. Wasn't there, a television show where there were actual like Jewish actors that portrayed Nazis hysterically. It was a comedy.
I think Bugs Bunny did it.
No. It was
an actual comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like the Marx Brothers?
No, I can't. I'm going to go back and I'll look it up. But yeah, something to that effect. It was on purpose where they were caricatured and just lampooned, because ridicule used to be. It was very effective World War II propaganda. One of the funniest World War II propaganda posters that I ever saw. And one of the first times I took my oldest son to D.C., we went to the Smithsonian, the American Museum. And I was fascinated by World War II, instilling World War II propaganda. It was very iconic. But compared to the propaganda of, like, say, communist Russia and elsewhere, have you ever noticed that, I don't know, maybe it was just the style, the coloring, whatever it was, or maybe it's just me being, I don't know if it's just me being loyal to the United States, I don't know, but I always thought it was more uplifting than the propaganda of, you know, communist countries, etc. Anyway, that aside, the funniest poster that I ever saw, and I guess it had to do with carpooling. Apparently, it was like popular on the West Coast and in major cities, and they were encouraging people to carpool to reserve gas and other resources for our troops. And it said, if you're riding alone, you're riding with Hitler. And it had like this like phantom Hitler in the car with someone who was driving alone. And it just stuck out. And I just thought it was funny. It was just funny that was the post. That was the propaganda. Like, you're riding with Hitler if you're not carpooling. This is funny. But he was actually involved in, he did create a lot of World War II propaganda. I was actually looking at some of the stuff that he did. Here's the thing, like I was saying, though, back to my point. I find the objections to a lot of things very situational. For instance, do you think that any of these women, you know how celebrities and influencers, they love to be pictured with the stuff that they have. It's a status symbol, right? Brands, luxury brands are a status symbol. That's how and handbags particularly are, you know, women are obsessed. Do you think that anyone is ever going to cancel Chanel? Because history says Coco Chanel was a raging anti-Semite. That she had a German officer lover, and she had once, oh, there's all kinds of stuff in here. I mean, she was, yeah, she, I mean, it was pretty, her anti-Semitism, and this was the French editor-in-chief of Marie Claire. After a conversation with Chanel, said her anti-Semitism was not only verbal, but passionate, demoted, and often embarrassing. That was, the at the time, the French editor of Marie Claire. Raging anti-Semite. I mean, she was described as being, quote, an actual Nazi. She, I mean, there's a lot of history there. And she apparently was involved, like her German officer lover was this guy named Baron Hans Günther von Dinklage. It's a mouthful. And he was a spy from the German embassy in Paris. And he was a member of Germany's military intelligence. And he was sleeping with Coco Chanel. They lived together in the Ritz in Paris. And apparently they lived very comfortably, despite all the terror happening around them. She was very much a fixture of high society. And there was a very interesting, the New York Times had a piece where they were talking about how she thought that she could, because she was working with Pierre Werthmeyer, and that she could wrest control of her company from the Werthmeyers. Chanel attempted to declare the company abandoned, but the Werthmeyers were wilier. They bought almost 50% of an airplane propeller company run by a French engineer named Felix Aimeux. When Chanel betrayed them, they signed the perfume for Chanel over to that Felix Aimeux, who sold arms to the Nazis. The Germans left the Le Parfum Chanel alone, and when it was over, Aimeux gave the company back to the Werthmeyers. She actually became, apparently in 1941, she had a code name, according to Telegraph. She was a Nazi agent, and she had her own code name even. She was a member of Germany's military intelligence, and she was described as, quote, really hating Jews, end quote. And everyone wears that brand on the red carpet in Hollywood. They carry the bags. They do all of it. Where are the calls to cancel her? And there's reporting that she was also a big racist too. But where are the calls to cancel her? I'm just curious. Or what about Roald Dahl? I mean, it gets incredibly problematic for people here. But I'm just, why is it that they're going after, you know, for instance, I mean, Roald Dahl's family actually had to apologize for him. They had to, New York Times. And this was just last year that this story was out. Let me share this piece with you. Roald Dahl's family apologizes for his anti-Semitism. The author, who passed in 1990, made disparaging comments about Jews during his lifetime. The family, in an online statement, said, quote, those prejudiced remarks are incomprehensible to us. This is the guy who wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This is the guy who created Willy Wonka. Witches. The BFG. But he was a self-avowed anti-Semite. In fact, in a 1983 interview with the New Statesman, Roald Dahl said, quote, there's a trait in the Jewish character that does provoke animosity. He said in 1990, just like months before he passed, he says, quote, I am certainly anti-Israel and I have become anti-Semitic. He was proud of it. I mean, he was absolutely proud of it. He said that he would refer to the finance industry as, quote, those powerful American Jewish bankers. He said that the U.S. government was, quote, utterly dominated by the great Jewish financial institutions over there. Oh, my gosh. He was an absolute bigot. Why aren't his books being canceled? I'm just curious, why is there this double standard? Why? Where's the consistency?
You're right, there is no consistency, but it seems to me, from the outside looking in, that this anti-Semitism seems to be accepted and okay, but anything that is in regards to race or gender or anything like that, that's where the focus is, right? That's where they jump on it. For some reason, they're fine with anti-Semitism. I mean, does it not appear that way? I've never seen the left go after anyone who's anti-Semitic. Ever. But you drew a picture in 1946 and now you're a racist. Hmm. Like, that's the left. So you're right. There is no consistency and I don't get it.
I mean, I don't want anybody to be canceled. I don't like cancel culture. I just think I'm the person who's like, let your freak flag fly. Because I want to know what I'm dealing with, don't you? Do you want to operate in ignorance and inadvertently engage in either commerce or something else with people who think, you know, abhorrent things? Or would you rather be informed of what they think because they're free to express it and you can make determinations about your activities based on your own observations? Because that's how I think. I don't want anyone canceled. But my point is that if the left is going to virtue signal by cherry picking who is acceptable for canceling, they need to explain their lack of consistency. If you're going to cancel Dr. Seuss, then you got to cancel Roald Dahl. You know, if you're going to cancel, it doesn't make any sense. It goes beyond. You know, I always talk about how in popular culture and society right now, there's a lack of redemption, but the left has favorites. And it seems like no matter what some of these people do or have done, it's not an issue of an absence of redemption for them. The issue is, well, these people can never do anything to where it would cost them or even bring them to ask that question in the first place. We have a lot more coming up because now apparently Curious George is getting it. Curious George. I can't tell you how many. Now, like, normally we laugh and we just make fun of this stuff, but I hope you realize, and I do want to express that I think that there is there's absolutely a more dangerous and malicious element here. Because, as I said, it's this cultural revolution, this neo-Marxist line of thought that any kind of tradition, any kind of thought, anything that may present a challenge to the ideology of the cultural resistance, it absolutely has to be snuffed out. So we're gonna get into a lot more of this because there's a lot to discuss. There really is. And then, of course, Cuomo. We have to talk about this situation.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
We are progressing every single day. I don't have a particular timeline, but all I can do is communicate both to the American public and to the individuals seeking protection that we are working around the clock 7 days a week to make that time frame as short as possible, but they need to wait. But they need to wait with a particular goal in mind. We are not saying don't come. We are saying don't come now. Because we will be able to deliver a safe and orderly process to them as quickly as possible.
Yeah. It's not that we're not saying don't come. We're just saying don't come now. That's a really poor message. That's very, very bad messaging. That's the White House to illegal. That was one of their statements to those individuals wanting to enter illegally at the southern border. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. I'm actually working on a piece, by the way, about cancel culture. And I'm incorporating the whole Roald Dahl, Coco Chanel, you know, and even getting into Jean-Paul Gaultier. Remember that whole bust up when he was in a French cafe screaming anti-Semitic remarks at other patrons. And he was slapped on the hand and now he's apparently at a different house. And so... and then even Christian Dior, the Dior family's past, all of this. So I'm just pointing out the inconsistencies here. I mean, if you can go after Dr. Seuss, let's look at some of these other things that are still, they still have worldwide appeal and are apparently excused. I'm just, you know, I have many questions about this. So that's going to, you're going to expect that in an upcoming newsletter. That's going to be happening. You can go to danalash.com and hit that subscribe button at top. That'll take you there. We have more in store. Curious George also, they're going after. And the government wonders, why don't people trust us? Live an example.
Yes, Jake. And we have to believe women who come forward and fully investigate. And, you know, the governor issued a total non-apology earlier. And in effect, treated sexual harassment as some kind of laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a joke. It's very, very serious stuff. And we need a full investigation. If it proves that these allegations are true, how can someone lead a state if they've done these kind of things?
Yeah, well, that is Bill de Blasio, who is shanking. He's shanking Andrew Cuomo there. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com, and subscribe to Chapter and Verse. Okay, so Hogan's Heroes. That was the show, by the way, we were talking about. Yeah, it's Hogan's Heroes. That's the one where they had actual Jewish actors that were portraying hysterically.
See nothing?
Yes, yes, making them look as stupid as possible because they were. Anyway, welcome back to the show. A lot of things to discuss. And that, of course, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. Bill de Blasio has hated Andrew Cuomo forever. The groundhog killer and Andrew Cuomo.
The old people killer.
Yeah, the groundhog killer versus the old people killer. One enters, two enter the ring, only one can leave. They've hated each other. This is not a secret in New York. They've hated each other forever. Two of the cattiest dudes ever. And Bill de Blasio, have you seen, because he's like been talking to every media outlet ever. This man loves an opportunity to shank the people he doesn't like in an interview. And he is just, he is out there. I mean, this dude has so much baggage himself, but he cannot stand, and nobody can stand Andrew Cuomo, apparently. Nobody. Everyone was talking, Kathleen Rice, who's from New York, she doesn't really have a lot of ground to stand on because she's called me a domestic enemy and referred to gun owners as terrorists. And so I'm very uncomfortable with having her sitting on any kind of committee that would determine who or who could not carry arms or be on such a list. But she said that he has to go. I think Kathleen Rice needs to resign as well. Maybe they can help each other pack. But all, I mean, man, knives out for Andrew Cuomo. And then you had Nancy Pelosi come out and say, well, he's, you know, these look, it looks credible. Because now there's another woman who came forward and there was a photo of him clutching her face. And she does look awkward. She looks awkward. Now, a couple of things. First off, I am consistent in that I think that you have to have due process and let there be an investigation. You're innocent until proven guilty. Although that photo. That photo, though. Yeah, it's a little. Because she does look uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
It just is weird. What is up with all these major Democrats? Like, he's clutching her face and she's putting her hands up and her hands, like, she looks like her, she just, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She's cringing. And why does he look like the devil? He's like all red. Why does he look devilish?
He does.
He looks like he's a, you know, a mix, what is it? A fish fillet under a heat lamp. Why? And she's just looking at him like her expression is the definition of cringe. And she has her hands in between his arms almost defensively. So he's just weird. Some of the stuff where he was telling the journalist to eat a sausage. And then he said he was going to give people jabs, vaccinations, and whatever body part he chooses. It's gross. I mean, go ahead and let due process happen. Sure. I mean, it's totally not consistent with what the left says. The left is like, no, no, no. Women got to be believed. You're totally guilty. You got to die now. That's what they say, right? Hell, Brett Kavanaugh didn't even meet this chick who had five doors in the front of her house. Remember that whole thing? I still don't understand why someone needs that many front doors. She didn't. I mean, there was no one that came forward that ever put them in the same area at the same time ever. They never even met. Her story was all over the place. Christine Blasey Ford couldn't even keep her story straight. It was ridiculous. She would, like, actually undermine and contradict her own story during testimony. And then here, these are people, these are women who worked with him. And then you've got this photo. It is cringe. It's super cringe. He's just one of those guys who, he's like the third character from Night at the Roxbury, but you just don't see him. But no, Bill de Blasio, Groundhog Killer versus the Old People Killer. Bill de Blasio cannot stand Andrew Cuomo. Now, all of these, more Democrats are coming out because now he's a liability. And if Cuomo becomes a liability, Democrats will do everything that they can to get rid of him. I mean, you got to go for the betterment of the party, right? That's just how it works. And him and Newsom are gone. Clearly, the field is being, it's being cleaned. They're widening. I do think that there are some Democrat operatives that are involved in this because Republicans didn't really have anything to do with this. They did it themselves, and then Democrats came out and buried him. The sad thing is that I wish that people were this outraged when over 11,000 elderly died, when they died in nursing homes because of his coronavirus order. I wish that people were up in arms and were speaking out about that just as loudly as they are this, but I really do feel like for the left, they feel more comfortable coming out for Me Too kind of stuff than the elderly, even though there were bodies. And then all of the spin of this. I don't know. I don't know how CNN's going to handle this. Chris Cuomo, his brother, was on CNN. Can we play this? He was on CNN and he was saying that, he can't cover his brother because, you know, it's his brother. He can't cover him because listen to this audio soundbite. He can't cover his brother because it's his brother.
Before we start tonight, let me say something that I'm sure is very obvious to you who watch my show. And thank you for that. You're straight with me. I'll be straight with you. Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. And obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother. Now, of course, CNN has to cover it. They have covered it extensively, and they will continue to do so. I have always cared very deeply about these issues, and profoundly so. I just wanted to tell you that. There's a lot of news going on that matters also, so let's get after that.
You know, because he's my brother. So you can't even say, well, if these stories are true. I would have no problem saying that. I don't know. That's me, though. I'm a little Beth Dutton in that respect.
It's like if there's anything negative, he can't talk about his brother. But if there's anything perceived positive, he can have him on the show for weeks, day after day.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. I don't know. Look how easy it is to cancel certain things, but then you can't cancel Andrew Cuomo. Good night. Oh, my goodness. No, but I also think that it's incredibly interesting how that aspect of the story, weren't there like two or three reporters that came out and said that he was his office threatened them and bullied them, and that in addition to the women coming out with their experiences, discussing their experiences with him of sexual harassment, and in addition to the nursing home scandal. But it's weird.
New York City councilman. The assembly.
Yeah, but specifically the media, because the media is always so sensitive. If it's a Republican that criticizes them, here he's acting like he's Vito Corleone. And where's everybody else in the media defending these people who are getting bullied? Because they were conservative reporters that he was bullying. Can you imagine this guy as president? Holy hell. You know he wanted it. You know he wanted to be president. Good night. Good heavens. So a couple of other things. Everything's getting canceled. If you sign up for the newsletter, I have a big cancel culture because it's cancel culture's inconsistency is going to be the title. And you'll get that this evening. But because it is, it's incredibly inconsistent. And I don't like cancel culture. Like I said, I hate the idea that people are too damn stupid, that are the prevailing thought in culture, that people are too stupid to figure out what is, this is bad, this is good. It's like, this isn't even taught anymore. So now they're even going after FFS. They're going after Curious George. Curious George.
Just curious.
He's just curious. Curious George is curious. I hate everything. I really hate everything. So here's the, I noticed this is over at Daily Caller. Oh, by the way, Twitter put a sensitive warning on Dr. Seuss, tweets that talk about Dr. Seuss books. One of my tweets has a sensitive warning on it, and a bunch of others do too. Did we accidentally all take acid? I'm just checking. Steve, you didn't accidentally, like, we didn't eat anything, did we? I'm just double checking.
I don't think we did, but I'm
getting... Are we all on drugs? Curious. Everybody do a check. I don't know how, like, pinch yourself or something. Everybody pinch themselves. The hell? Oh, wait, I have like six more things that are canceled that I haven't even told you about yet. Statues and all kinds of new ones. I know. Woo-hoo. So now, heaven help us. So this is what they're going after. Barbar. I can't even say this name. Isn't that that elephant? Yeah, they're mad at Barbar, the elephant. Barbar. How the hell do you say this stupid thing's name?
That's right.
Is it? Yeah. It sounds like I'm making fun of something. Isn't it just Barbar?
No, it's Barbar.
Yeah. It is not Barbar.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No, it's not. Someone who is British, help. Because isn't Baba? It a British story?
Is it Baba?
I don't know.
No, it's Barbar.
I've never read any of this. It's a French children's book, so it probably is. I don't know.
Barbar? Barbar?
I don't even know how you say his name. So, hang on. Let me get to this. So this is what they're writing about it. This is one article. In the 2007 book, Should We Burn Barbar? The author and educator Herbert Cole contended that Barbar the Elephant books were celebrations of colonialism because of how the title character leaves the jungle and later returns to civilize his fellow animals. One of the books, Barbar's Travels, was removed from the shelves of a British library in 2012 because of its alleged stereotypes of Africans. Critics have also faulted the Curious George books for their premise of a white man bringing home a monkey from Africa. And Laura Ingalls Wilder, I mean, it gets into everything. So this is the piece. First off, are there none of that species on that continent? We need I think we're going to have to bring on a wildlife or something expert on the show, I think. We should ask Glaive, our intern Glaive.
For the cartoon characters? Is that
Yeah, uh-huh. We should ask our intern Glaive Dover, because that's all he does is watch cartoons.
It's true.
That's literally his thing. Not like cool ones, like anime. He watches like children's shows.
Yeah, he'd have an opinion.
Yeah, he would definitely have an opinion. He would be an expert. I would be able to say he's an expert.
For sure.
Although he says he doesn't want to be on camera because he has that thing on his lip.
Right. I don't blame him, though.
It's tough. It looked bad. He tried to put a Band-Aid on it and it looked even grosser. Yeah. Is grosser a word? Grossest? Or more gross?
Yeah, made it more prominent.
Yeah, it just really just gross. All right, so we'll consider making that happen. Oh, and then I know we have a lot. I know I got to go because now apparently, does anybody want a statue of Sacagawea, Lewis, and Clark? Because there's one for the Pickens.
What?
Yeah. Not kidding. Maybe you can put it in your living room. I'll offer tips.
I would love that, actually.
No, for real. Like, there's a city giving away a statue. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Mitt Romney was knocked unconscious and got a black eye from a fall. No word as to whether or not he was using the same exercise bands that Harry Reid once used in his bathroom. But he felt he's got a wicked shiner. He was knocked unconscious. He fell in Boston over the weekend, and he's got a lot of stitches and a black eye. He goes, I took a fall, knocked me unconscious, but I'm doing better. He said he was visiting his grandchildren when he got injured, and then he joked later and said, well, I went to CPAC, and that was a problem. I just felt like, you know. The Michigan governor's under fire for doing what Cuomo did with seniors. Big Gretch. Ooh, look, she's being accused of hiding that her health director got a payout in a confidential deal. I know, after resignation. That's kind of a big deal. We're going to talk more about this as well when we have Georgia Governor Brian Kemp on. And a doctor appeared in court in a video call, a traffic court, while he was performing surgery. Now he's being investigated. I know. There was another doctor in there, but it was still awkward. Stick with us a lot.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler, how many $2 trillion packages we get each year? How long does this last? And or, let me ask you, what happens when the music stops? What happens when there's no more stimulus packages?
Yeah, million-dollar question from Larry Kudlow right there. What happens when there's no more? Nothing else in the coffers. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. This has been one of the big debates as it relates to the coronavirus recovery bill, which isn't really so much about the coronavirus. It's about bailouts for states that kind of went along with very harsh restrictions and put their individual economies in much worse position than states that adapted, dealt with this virus realistically, realized we need to protect our vulnerable populations. But at the same time, we also can't shut everything down and run our economy into a hole in the ground, because then everyone is going to be in a much worse position. And that actually could be just as adverse as the overall effects of this virus. But yet they're getting punished in this coronavirus bill. We've been talking about this quite a bit, and I've written about it in the newsletter. Joining me right now, one of those governors that is being punished because his state really dealt with this responsibly and their economy didn't suffer as a result. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who joins us via Skype. Governor, it's a pleasure to have you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Dana. It's great to be on with you. You're right on point.
Well, I appreciate that. And apparently your response was on point as well, because yours was one of the states that, you know, went along and adapted, but didn't have super strict lockdowns, the likes of which we saw in New York and California. And you didn't deal with, when we looked at the numbers of transmissions and fatalities, everyone was accusing governors like yourself and Ron DeSantis and others of somehow encouraging or making the virus worse, which, you know, the statistics don't support that. But in this coronavirus relief bill, there's an inordinate amount of cash that is going to states that have very problematic economies that this is predated this lockdown. States like Illinois that have had problems for 50 years. California, these are states that have been in the red long before this lockdown happened. And it seems as though they're trying to conflate their pre-existing problems with what was caused by their strict restrictions under the lockdown, which obviously exponentially made it worse. And as a result, taxpayer dollars are going more towards those states. And you say that, you know, this has been a problem they've had for a long time. Why are you punishing states like Georgia? We did it right. We didn't suffer because we did it right, at least to the point where we could have. Talk to me about this, Governor, and what is your response to just how these funds are allocated in this bill?
Well, I know this won't be shocking to you. It doesn't even make good common sense. You know, it does predate COVID, has nothing to do with COVID. States that have had a weaning economy like we have in Georgia are now a loser in this bill, and states that have been losing because they wouldn't make tough choices even before the pandemic are now all of a sudden a winner. And I've been telling people, you know, if the Trump administration had treated states this way, the national media and Pelosi and Schumer and New York and California and Illinois, they would have been going crazy. They didn't do that. They treated all the states equitably. And now that's the reverse. And you can't even hardly get the national media to even talk about it. New Yorkers are going to get 50% more per capita than Georgians will. And that's just not fair to our citizens. It's not fair to the other, you know, 33 states where this is inequity.
I agree with that. And I was reading when looking at this package, the mandate that really does benefit blue states, they don't make the funding contingent upon the entire population, but it's on the unemployed population. And of course, states, Governor, that have higher unemployment levels because they had greater restrictions, of course, they're going to see higher unemployment numbers. That seems to be a really specious measure as to how to direct these funds.
Well, and to me, you know, Dan, I was a small business owner for 35 years, still am. I've always, you know, I've been signing my own paycheck for over 35 years now. I mean, people got to work. They got to work to make a living. And now Georgians that are doing that are getting penalized. What they ought to be doing is focused on those that lost their job because of a invisible virus through no fault of their own. That's who they should be trying to help, not helping states with issues financially that they have that predates COVID, some by, you know, 5-10 years. It is really what you called it. It's a blue state bailout in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm certainly supportive of the federal response we've gotten in regards to helping deal with coronavirus and get vaccines out and other public health things that we need to be doing. But, you know, I think, you know, almost 80% of this bill is doing something other than that.
Yeah. And you had said previously that you can't go out and tell your constituents, we're talking to Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, you can't go out and tell your constituents, okay, keep working, pay your taxes, and then watch all your tax dollars go to states that ran their responses poorly. What are you hearing from voters in your state, Governor, about this?
Well, people are, I mean, I just can't believe it, but it's just kind of, you know, typical, and especially when the leaders in the House and the Senate are from New York and California, two states that this benefits for the most. I mean, I can't imagine that our U.S. senators are going to vote for this, but I believe that they're going to. I hope there's some other moderate Democrats like Joe Manchin and perhaps the Democratic senator from Montana that will say, hey, this is ridiculous. You know, we can't treat people in states differently. We got to be fair and equitable, and we certainly shouldn't be penalized for having good economies. I mean, that is like the most un-American thing I've ever heard of in my life. Our economic development pipeline is very deep. We have people that are moving not only to Georgia, but all over the Southeast because it's the case all the way around us. And they're moving out of states like New York and California. And, you know, it's ridiculous. They're getting rewarded for having bad economies.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you, Governor. We have some friends that we have actually a lot of friends that are leaving California, and some of them are considering, one of our friends are considering Georgia, and we're trying to lobby them to get them to move to Texas, but they really like Georgia. So, I mean, no, we're well, just a little competition.
Texas is a fine state too, no doubt about it. But
I wanted to ask you as well, because you were mentioning you know, how some of these states, which we've seen it on a national stage, how some of these states just had really poor responses, and you know, you can't have other individuals expect to make up the slack for this. But you were praised because when you were looking at, and it's tough. I mean, even, you know, and I have to say, even states like Georgia, states like Florida, I mean, it's still tough when you have what we've never dealt with before, a pandemic. And, you know, in the very beginning stages, nobody knew anything about this. This was brand new. We were starting from the ground floor. You know, obviously mistakes were going to be made. Caution, you know, we're trying to figure out how much caution to deploy. But you were praised because instead of asking for more federal money for any area where Georgia may have had a shortfall, what you did was ask state agents to cut their budgets by 14%. I was looking at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here that reported on this, and it's not going to be easy, but you know, tell me about your reasoning with that. You're asking some of these state agencies, well, let's just pull back a little bit so we don't have to take this federal money.
Well, look, you got two choices, right? You can either tighten your belt. We have a thankfully have a balanced budget amendment in Georgia, so we have to balance the budget every year. Going into the pandemic, even before the pandemic, I called on state agencies to cut 4% and 6% in our mid-year and our big budget so that we could fund our priorities, make state government more efficient. That was before COVID. Obviously, everything changed. But because of that, it made the cut that we had to do last year because our revenues dipped for several months there during that just terrible time when nobody knew what was going on. It allowed us to be able to weather that storm. But because we reopened when we did that methodically and worked on two things, protecting lives and livelihoods, our revenues continued to hold up throughout the year. So our budget cuts went from 14 to 10%, and we made it work, and we're in a great position going into our budget year this year. We've been able to fund back some money to education, public health, public safety. We're actually funding the police here, not trying to defund it. Doing a lot of economic development, kind of shovel-ready projects to keep our people working, help those displaced workers find employment in other areas, get retrained to be able to do that. And so we're doing really good under the circumstances, and it's just it's really kind of demoralizing to be punished for doing good.
Yeah, doing good. And you mentioned, too, keeping people employed as well. Georgia had a relatively low jobless rate compared to a lot, especially the states that had very, very severe restrictions, lockdown during the pandemic. But I was looking at a piece back from 2020. I mean, y'all kept a relatively low jobless rate, about 7.6%. And this was back in July of last year. And even then, you were telling the federal government, no, we can take care of this. The states, that's a novel idea. And I thought that Democrats, because they apparently discovered federalism somewhere along the pathway in 2016, I just thought that they would have celebrated a position like that, Governor. And but the Wall Street Journal did. You got praise from them on this.
Well, it's just, I've been through that as a small business owner. I've been where I've thought I was going to lose everything. My wife and I have been sitting there on a Friday night going, gosh, I don't know how we're going to make it. You got two choices. You can either throw in the keys, give it back to the bank, or you can get up and go back to work on Saturday morning and just keep grinding through it. And I felt like that's where we were in the pandemic. And a lot of my Republican colleagues that are governors felt the same way. And we've ground through this, and our people have, and we've worked with the private sector. And, we really asked the question, I think, Dana, like, how do we make this work? Not we can't do this, but how do we make this work? We got to do more than just fight the virus. We got to fight for our economy. We got to fight for our kids being back in the classroom. We got to fight for livelihoods. There's mental health issues. I mean, there's generational problems that the pandemic causes. And I was just trying to alleviate that the best I could. And we're still fighting that every single day, I can promise you.
Yeah, well, that's definitely evident. And what a difference it is when you have state leadership that actually has that small business background compared to others that don't. They just know French Laundry. That's all they know. And that's where they go dine out in California. But we'll continue watching, Governor. And I'll keep everybody updated as to whether or not we lose this war with our friends, if Georgia wins them or if Texas does. Governor Brian Kemp, the great state of Georgia. Good to talk with you, Governor. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I just saw a horrifying headline that I'll share with you next hour about what Reese's is doing to their peanut butter cups. Make a note. Don't let me forget. You're going to be horrified, and all of a sudden, you're going to support cancel culture. I'm kind of joking, but not really. All right, so this is... We're going to get through this. A Florida man was sentenced for 20 years in prison and a $251,000 fine. And I'm really sorry, Rachel. Alex Bonilla, a Florida man... He was accused of breaking into the home of his wife's lover and cutting off a schlong with scissors. I don't know how else to describe it. During a very gruesome attack, he pleaded guilty. In 2019, Bonilla caught the man and his wife having romantical times at home. And this was in May. So in July of 2019, Bonilla went to the victim's home, who happened to be his neighbor, tied the man up at gunpoint, and then took scissors, gave him a quick trim.
No.
Yeah. In a report, the Gilchrist County Sheriff's Office deputies say that Bonilla then left with, he left with it, the severed male copulatory organ.
The erection.
He walked out with it. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate that. They said that the Gilchrist County deputies were all sick, said that two children were at the time of the attack, and the male victim survived the assault. How do you survive that? Who did that song Detachable? You know what I mean? Yeah. Who did that song? That would be apropos here. He was sentenced, because even though it happened in 2019, he was just sentenced. I think so. 20 years in prison plus 10 years probation. And he was also found guilty of kidnapping and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. And $251,023 in restitution. Is that how much is?
Wow.
How much? $251,000 or $251,023.
Doesn't sound
it's
like
quite
enough.
Specific.
Doesn't sound like it's enough.
Yeah, you know, like how does?
Doesn't sound enough.
I'm asking this not because I want to know from anyone, but I'm not going to Google it. But how does that?
How valuable is
refunction? Yeah. You know. These are questions I don't want to ask. I would not want to be that doctor who had to deal with that. Like, he's just left with a nubbin. Is it, or does he get a nubbin? I don't know.
Is that another Florida man story?
Or? Yeah. But do you want me to talk about some of these other ones? Because you know how our listeners, like from Florida, send us stuff like as a dare because they think I'm not going to read some of this stuff. And they just howl with laughter. They really try me because they want me to try Kane. That's kind of what it really is.
I am physically in pain. Thank you.
Yes. So I'm sorry, but there is another one of these stories. I'm going to just read this one as is. Florida man naked, shaking his penis at people, was shot. Yeah, this is another guy. I'm not even going to get into the rest of the story. How long does that... this is... Oh my gosh, let's find something a little bit more. I'm just... You people, you're hurting me. Stop it. So, okay, this... Oh, this one is actually kind of insane. A Florida woman is facing insane fines because she was parking in her own driveway. West Palm Beach, Sandy Martinez. It's $250 a day for 470 days, $101,750 in fines for parking cars partially on her own grass. So it's in her driveway. And by the way, the overall cost is quadruple what she makes in a year. So the court documents, they say that it's apparently described as trivial code violations. She works at a medical office. And she lives with her two adult children, and they have four cars in their driveway. And so that means the outer wheels of each car extend slightly beyond the edge of the driveway.
So what?
And so she's literally fined four times what she makes in a year. Over $101,000 for this. That's insane. Stick with us. We have a lot more in store because you guys want a statue? There's one for the Pickens.
And so when you're allowing thousands, up to 4,000 folks coming across that border, and you're sending a signal that more and more will likely come, you're asking your DHS law enforcement officers to be put in a very difficult position. These are folks that are coming across the border that have no medical papers, that have no ID in many cases. We have no idea what their medical history is. We have no idea if they've had any type of vaccines of any kind. And so it's very difficult to administer medical care to them. And so you're doing that on an everyday basis, and then you overlay that with what's going on with COVID along that southwest border, and it's becoming very, very...
That's Chad Wolf, whose name is funny. Chad Wolf. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure that you subscribe to Chapter and Verse newsletter, and I'll be on Fox Primetime tonight. I don't know yet what we're discussing, but you can find out more about it. I'll make a mention of it on Facebook. And subscribe to the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. I got some stuff coming out for you tonight. Good stuff. So, and also you'll get prep. The situation at the border, because did you know a couple of things? First off, apparently he's like opening up like a whole other new tent facility from what I have been reading. The Biden administration is not allowing media to tour the migrant children facility. And they say it's because of the pandemic. And this is in Carrizo Springs. Reporters are not allowed inside. I think that I'm not a fan of having reporters with a bunch of kids. And I mean, look, you can have your position on illegal entry. I sure as heck do. But when you have like kids, and I'm talking like kids, I'm not talking like how the Obama administration was like these 18-year-old babies, these little baby infants, these itty bitty infant baby 18-year-olds, or like the same logic with, you know, 50-year-old baby Hunter Biden. Actually, he's like 52-year-old baby Hunter Biden, right? Infant, little infant Hunter Biden playing with his little Einstein, right? Isn't that how? I was totally ripping off Will Ferrell there in Step Brothers when he was at the table saying grace. Just, yeah. I like my Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt. So he's like formal, but also ready to party. Anyway, that's totally in the ditch. Sorry. It's one of the most quotable movies of all time. They try to make fun of something and they ended up like actually making it into an icon, which is, I love it when it backfires. Anyway, let's get back to the serious subject at hand, guys. So the Carrizo Springs, it is, as I've noted before, it's privately operated. It's not actually something that's operated under ICE. It's under a separate contractor that goes through DHS, and it is it's a group that specifically works with children, not 18-year-old children, but like actual children that come in not of their own choice. And in many instances, they are not coming in with family relations. And that is, and they, what they're doing is they, it's a temporary hold to make sure that they are not going to be exploited, which apparently some people on the left are infuriated over this because they're just like, no, let them go. Who cares? So you create this problem and then you're mad when there's another problem that comes from that problem that you created and you're mad at. So the Carrizo Springs facility was open for 1 month under Trump and then Biden reopened it. First off, the problem is his own making. When you're championing the Flores Amendment, and Flores is what allowed people to take advantage. If you just come in with a child, then you are fast tracked, not just through processing, but also through release. And the people were taking advantage of that. And so when you create this problem, you know, I think it is callous and reckless that you don't realize that you are setting up a larger problem with the exploitation of children at the southern border. And so the Carrizo Springs facility, even though the numbers had really diminished under the Trump administration, now things are starting to ramp up again. And as a result of the policy with regards to the border, now they had to open this up. And I mean, I'm not against the facility being open. I'm against everything that led to the facility being open. So there is some nuance. There's a difference there, right? There's a big difference. But they're not allowing reporters inside this Carrizo Springs facility, and apparently it's making some people angry, some of the people in the media angry. One ABC reporter was said that they were not going to be allowed to tour the facilities because of the pandemic. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said that he would look into why that was. And because it is a privately operated facility, they don't have to give the press, which also seems intentional. Now, I said this, and I think we discussed this last week too, how this was a quote unquote man camp for oil fields. So this is where oil workers would stay. So this is one of the reasons why the government chose, they own this facility. The infrastructure was there. It's out of the way and it's where they can contain it and it can be made safer. So, and it was, like I said, it was originally open in June 2019. Democrats were furious and now you have to reopen it again. And apparently, as I said just a little bit ago, let me pull this link up. He is, the Biden administration is also, they're opening another, they have to, they're opening another facility because it's, there's so many people coming in and huge problem. Massive problem. I don't know how you're going to be able to attend to the influx when you're already dealing with problems with ICE staffing, etc. So just it's it's worrisome. And I do worry for the actual children that are brought in and exploited, because I feel like they're not just being exploited by those who are looking to take advantage of Flores and say, oh, hey, this is my kid, process me faster. But I also think that they're being exploited by Democrats who are pushing policies and they want to act stupid and pretend that this is not a consequence of these reckless policies. I mean, there's cause and effect. And to act ignorant of the effect, I think, is just reckless and irresponsible. So, you know, I just... it's infuriating. All right, so a couple of other things that I want to get in here and make sure that we're getting I'm going through, because I wanted to tell you about the statue thing, because there's a ton of cancel culture stuff today, by the way. So first off, we went into the whole they're going to cancel Curious George, which is so ironic. Your curiosity's canceled. They are canceling Dr. Seuss, but hey, it's okay for I don't want anything to be canceled. I hate cancel culture. If I could cancel anything, it would be the inconsistency of the cancel cultists. If Dr. Seuss is bad, then so is Roald Dahl. And if, you know, if Mike Lindell is bad, okay, well then Henry Ford's bad. He was a big old anti-Semite, apparently. Coco Chanel's bad. She's a big old anti-Semite. The Diors. I mean, we can sit here and go on and on. So now, if you guys need a statue,
I could use one.
Rachel just got married. This would have been a great wedding present. Oh. A Sacagawea Lewis and Clark statue. It's like all you got to do is haul it away. It's in Charlottesville, right?
That Charlottesville?
Yeah, Meriwether Lewis. And by the way, not enough people are named Meriwether. Sidebar. Great name.
It's true.
Right?
Right.
All right, going back. So it's the Sacagawea Meriwether Lewis William Clark. It's a heavy bronze statue with a pink granite base. This is actually a thing. The city has issued a formal request for information in an effort to determine if anyone would be willing to, quote, safely remove, relocate, or take ownership of the 1919 statue depicting Sacagawea Lewis and Clark at the intersection of Ridge Street, West Main, and McIntyre Road. They want to find a new owner, and because they don't like, it's a sore spot, they said. Apparently, some lineal descendants of Sacagawea voiced extreme displeasure at her depiction. Sacagawea is kneeling behind Lewis and Clark, and I'm looking at it, and it looks like she's like tracking something. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and try to read into what this damn statue made in 1919 is. Whatever. That they said that and this is the request, quote, the assumption by the city of Charlottesville is that any prospective recipient would be responsible for the safe removal and relocation of the statue, including all of the associated planning and logistical work required. The recipient would also bear all of the associated financial costs to this work. Just get some of your resistor friends down there and pull it down with ropes, right? Isn't that what they do?
Take it off.
Yeah, take it off. So if you know... The city does want to know why you would be interested in the statue and what you plan to do with it.
Ooh.
It's 18 feet tall and 5.5 feet wide.
I wonder what my explanation would be.
I know. I was actually legit thinking about that.
I just want it. Like, why can't that be the explanation?
Yeah. Like, free statue?
Yeah.
This is a very Dave Chappelle and frozen yogurt question. So why are you interested in this free bronze statue? You just said it.
It's free.
Free. I mean, it really doesn't take a lot. I could get some, you know, I could get some of my cousins from Southern Missouri, and we could go up there and we could pull this thing down, you know, and we just load it in the back of a pickup, right? And it off.
I'm a fan of the whole investigating and discovering the Louisiana Purchase and all that, but mostly it's just because it's free.
It's a bronze statue.
Yeah, it's
like
free.
It's fun.
It's a free statue.
I mean, it would be, I don't know, because get it, put it on your driveway, right?
I'd actually point it in a direction that matters. Like, I don't know.
You could set it if you have tall enough ceilings. I don't know. It's 18 feet tall, so Ooh. You'd have to have pretty big ceilings. You could, like, if you have a party, you could put it towards pointing the way of the bathroom.
Right.
Right? Although I don't think they're pointing. But who wouldn't want? What would you do with it? Steve, what would you do with the statue? Pink granite base? I mean, don't let the pink get you. You could just tell people it's salmon.
Right. Coral.
That works, right? That's what they do at Vineyard Vines. They're like, no, it's not pink. It's salmon. And then men are like, oh, is that better? Yes. Salmon.
But that polo shirt.
Yeah. Here, have this salmon polo. You're going to have a fish-colored polo shirt. Okay. It's better than just pink, right? Steve, what would you want a statue? You're a single guy.
Considering it's only like 2 hours from my house, I might go pick it up.
For real? Like, but okay, so think of something to say. Like, if they're like, okay, Mr. Jones, why do you want this statue? What are you going to do with it?
I'm an intense pawner. I'm going to melt it and sell it to low-income children.
Wow. Wait a minute. You're going to melt it and sell it to low-income children?
I don't know.
You really thought
I'm always trying to chase a dollar. I'm sorry.
That's good. I mean, you could
melt it down and make smaller Sacagawea statues. That could be it.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff you could do with it. You could dress it up for the holidays. You know how people have those ceramic geese?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
This would be just like 18 foot tall in bronze. It'd be like the largest garden gnome.
Right?
Ever.
And you put it in your yard and don't say anything. Just see if people notice. Right? When did you? It's an 18. How much do you think it weighs? There isn't any question in there. Oh, wait. No, they do.
18 foot statue. I bet you it's like.
It's 18 feet tall, 5.5 feet wide. It's quite slim. For being 18 feet tall, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But how much does it weigh?
I don't know.
I think it would weigh at least for like 5,000 pounds.
Probably officially a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I'm going to train him to shoot three free throws so he can give me some money in the NBA.
Yeah. Like it's just, you could totally, there's a lot you could do. So if you're in the Charlottesville area, you know, and maybe, you know, you got a need for a free statue. You know, you just go up to the city and be like, I'll take this off your hands. Me and some of my friends will come up here. We'll get this done for you. I think they don't want their sidewalk damaged, but, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's in Charlottesville. Get your Sacagawea Lewis and Clark. Look at that. It's like a big old ceramic goose up in your yard, but it's bronze and people and then 18 foot tall. All right. So we have more to come, including, oh yeah, there's more cancel culture. But did you think we were done? Did you think we were seriously done? Because you thought wrong.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
An energy company is going to breed endangered California condors to replace all the birds killed by... Oh! Green energy. Oh, look at that. So, the wind turbines? Yeah. They're among the top goals of California environmentalists, preserving endangered species and replacing fossil fuels with clean energy. Except these... You know, the California condor was rescued from the brink of extinction. And then guess what? It's now at risk of being killed by spinning turbine blades. Roughly 100 captive bred condors currently soar above this rugged range between the Mojave Desert and the fertile Central Valley. Although there has yet to be a documented case of a turbine actually killing a condor, they have killed a bunch of other birds, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife says condor collisions are inevitable, especially if the population increases. The growing potential for condor kills is alarming federal authorities and environmentalists and power company officials because they could sue the wind farms. Can you imagine that? You kill one condor, dang, go buy wind farm. It's going to turn into the bird's house. That's what's going to happen. So now they're trying to, I guess, what? Breed the scavengers in captivity so that they can replace any bird killed by them. So is that makes it okay?
Sure does.
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. A high-tech dine and dash forces a popular Korean fusion cafe to close. This is CBS in Los Angeles, channel 2 there. This is kind of crazy. Fairfax District, many restaurants remain closed during the pandemic, but yet dining and dashing is still a problem. And it even forced one restaurant shop to close up for Korean Fusion Cafe Spoon by H. So it was like the epitome of a successful small business. He does everything by himself, but they ended up getting like tons of dine and dash, and it's awful. And then they go back and dispute the charges and keep doing it. Stick with us. More in store.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I'd be delighted to see us move forward with the wealth tax at any point. It's something we need in America, and that's why we're out here today. We're putting it out so everyone can see it and start to talk about it.
It's the ultra wealth tax? Good grief.
Start to talk about it.
It's all you talk about, woman. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. It's the ultra wealth tax. I don't think that would go through the Senate, actually. I think she's gonna try it. It'd make it through the House. I don't see it going through the Senate, though, especially like right now.
Why do they always target the actual lifeblood of this economy? They always do it. They did it with small business during COVID. They've always had this, you know, eat the rich attitude for the longest time. It makes no sense. This is exactly how the economy moves forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, I agree. I completely agree. And it's like a, I don't know, it's all, it's stop trying to penalize people. Rising tide raises all ships. Don't tell me that it doesn't, because, you know, it's science. I just, I don't know. So a couple of things that I want to touch on here. First off, this one story, and then I'm going to get into this insane cancel culture story that has to do with these teenage boys. Minneapolis is hired influencers to spread messaging during the trial over George Floyd's death. The Minneapolis City Council unanimously approved paying 6 social media influencers, according to CBS, to spread city-approved messaging and updates throughout the upcoming murder trial of former officer Derek Chauvin, who was charged with Floyd's death. $1,181,500 for communication with the community during the trial. The city says that social media partners will help dispel potential misinformation, and that the influencers will intentionally target Black, Native American, Somali, Hmong, and Latinx communities with their messaging. Each influencer receives $2,000. And people are worried, like one activist is actually worried about bias behind information that will come from a city-funded influencer. You say city-funded influencer. I say propaganda. No reason why the city needs to be using people's taxpayer dollars for this stuff. Are you kidding me? Good night. Isn't that, look, this? If you had a press, then you wouldn't have to create a state press. Because that's what this is. If you had an actual free press that was unhindered from any kind of tie to any kind of ideology and just reported it straight, you know, I mean, you wouldn't have to have something like this. Isn't that crazy how what they can justify in the absence of a free press that purposefully makes himself not actually free? Awful. Also awful, this insane story. Okay, so let me walk you through this. This is in St. Francis High School in Mountain View, California. Now, apparently, this has been going on for a long time, and it's just now making news. And that's because a lawsuit was just dropped. So the story's been going on a long time, and a lawsuit was just dropped. I mean, filed, rather. Two teenage boys have sued the Catholic school for $20 million. And here's why. The boys, they had a dark green acne medication, a mask that they put on their face. In fact, and it was a picture of three boys, and one of the boys apparently has had an issue with acne. And so he put this dark green acne medication all over his face, and then his two friends joined. And then the day before, the boy had an all-white mask for acne on his face. And he had taken a selfie and put that up. And so the boys say that, you know, they did this because they thought it was funny, and they were, because it was, you know, it was acne medication. They weren't, and it was green for the love. So the school told them that they had to leave or be expelled. And the school's president, they released a statement because they accused them of wearing blackface. And they kicked them out of the school, according to San Francisco Chronicle. Two of the boys involved have filed suit. The third boy went to a different school and is not involved in the suit. And the boys took the image when they were 14. So they were 14 years old with acne medication on their face. And they were acute, and it was green. And they were accused of blackface and kicked out of school and named publicly as like racist, and at 14 years old. Because the one boy legitimately suffers with severe acne. And the parents, the families they said that in a statement, the lawsuit is our attempt to redeem our names and reputations and correct the record to reflect the truth of what actually happened. And the boys have not been, their names have been publicly identified, but the suit says the school's actions are virtue signaling. It's a virtue signaling attempt to be perceived within the community as fighting against racism regardless. And they said that at no time did the boys ever engage in blackface, nor did they intend to do so or even mimic doing so. And they're not even aware of the term, let alone what it meant or signified. They were 14 years old and they were with their friend who has to put this stuff on his face at night because he apparently has such serious acne that he has to be on medication for it, which is a real thing, by the way. And the school officials, it's alleged, defamed and scapegoated the boys. And this is, it's actually crazy. And then the day before, the same boy had a white face mask on for acne. And they even showed the product that they used, apparently. Like they brought it on court and they're like, this is what he had on his face. And they were, oh my gosh. And the school's attorney told the families that it's such a disrespectful image that it warrants immediate dismissal. 14 years old. Wow. Now, here's what's even crazy. The families had to even move out of the area. They were run out of the area. They said that the kids' futures are in total disarray. The school apparently told the parents, oh, well, we're not going to mention this to other schools, but apparently didn't do that. They totally like ran them down to other schools, apparently, sabotaging them. This is child abuse. Absolute child abuse. I hope that this school pays to the point where they have to shut down. Honestly, I have always, you know, kind of questioned like some of the insane litigation where they ask for astronomical amounts, but I think that's what it's going to take to stop some of this stuff. I hope that they go after every single thing with this school, and then I hope they can just go and then go after each of the officials individually. I mean, this is it's hysterical. That it's just hysteria completely. Do you know what? They're 14 years old. I feel so bad for kids today. How do you know? You want to know why there's, I think, an increase in suicide rates and everything else? Because with everybody being home with the lockdown and all this stuff, I think people are taking out even more their frustrations and internalized inadequacies and everything else out on everybody else. It is true that, you know, you can't have acne so bad that you have to have prescription stuff. But they were like, we weren't doing blackface. They were like, if anything, they thought it was apparently silly because it's what girls do. Okay, there's the sexism charge. I mean,
I could see if they posted it and it was like, hey, and then made some comments about the post and saying that this was about blackface or something. But the narrative is to force this to be an issue again.
Yeah.
Because it's racial. That anti-Semitism is okay, but exaggerated racism is where the focus is.
Well, here's something else. Say that it wasn't even that they were putting their friend's acne medication that was green on their face.
Which is what they did.
Yeah, and that, you know, they had no idea what, you know, because they had no idea what blackface was or anything. Let's state the worst. Like, they were totally doing it. Okay. Let's just state that they were totally wearing blackface, etc. What is the goal of pointing out bad behavior and issuing penalties? To get an individual to recognize a wrong and then to rectify it.
Oh, they don't want that part, though.
If you really think that, and let's just say that that's what they were doing. Wouldn't you want to intervene and explain and rectify it?
And educate them?
Educate and allow for reconciliation. That's why I think this stuff is so disingenuous. None of that ever happens. There's no education.
They're 14.
There's no reconciliation. And there is no redemption. That's how you know it's BS. They just want to get them. That's what it is. I do not never ever take anyone seriously unless they have those steps in place. Otherwise, what's the point? Because what you end up doing is you cement any kind of claimed resentment, and you just make them even more steadfast in their position. Now, how does that accomplish the claimed purpose of the entire reason for why you're doing it, right?
They want destruction, not redemption.
Exactly. And kids do stupid things, by the way. They do stupid stuff. They're kids. I mean, for crying out loud, I was reading this article. Actually, I was reading this article the other day where it was talking about how to have more grace for your teens during this time and all, you know, during everything with the past year or so. And they were saying that, you know, the same thing that allows younger, like teenagers and children to be resilient, you know, their brains are still developing. And, you know, that's why they're a little bit more resilient and can bounce back, you know, with, you know, injuries and setbacks and things. And it's because of that. But at the same time, that resiliency, it comes at, you know, certain parts of, you know, their thinking is they're not mature yet. They're not fully developed. They're still learning. They're mature. They're growing. And as a result, they'll make dumb decisions. We don't allow that anymore in society, because it's if you're on social media, then it is accepted that you are consenting to all the ramifications of every single asinine aspect of society. And you are signing away any objection you have to being used as a whipping boy in society. I don't know. I don't think that kids should be on social media. I really don't. My youngest son is not on it at all. And my oldest son is only on like one thing. I just, because people are awful. Google never forgets, and people are awful. But my youngest son will never, he said he will never have a social media account. He thinks it's a ridiculous waste of time, and that if he wants to talk to anybody, then he will talk to them when he is around them. He's like, when I am not around them, it is because I don't want to be. And he's like, what, he is so logical. He's like, what purpose does this serve? He goes, I don't want to be around people that I'm not, I don't want to have to talk to, I don't, that I'm not around. No. He's like, if I want to talk to them, I'll pick up a telephone. He's like a 90-year-old. He really is. He's like a clean mouth George Carlin. But he's a very old soul. My youngest is a very old soul. But I feel bad for kids. And parents, don't think for one second. It always comes back. I feel bad for kids right now. They have it hard. And they're being taught by some of these graceless parents out there. Some of these parents out here are awful. They are immature. They're unfit parents. And they breed hate into they teach hate to their children. It's awful. They learn from their parents about this kind of bullying behavior. All right. So I hope you all get that free statue. You know, go and get it. I'm just saying, it's like one of them ceramic geese. Get you a bonnet, put bonnets on them, you know?
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
So today, I'm issuing a new executive order that rescinds most of the earlier executive orders. Effective next Wednesday, all businesses of any type are allowed to open 100%. That includes any type of entity in Texas. Also, I am ending the statewide mask mandate.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Starts next Wednesday.
What are they going to do if I do it now?
Nothing.
Try me.
They're not going to do anything.
Try me. I hate wearing the face diapers. If you're worried about your health, don't go out.
Yeah.
When I'm worried about my health, I don't go out.
Me too.
If you're worried about your health, also don't go out. If I'm worried about my health, I don't make you do things that are going to be for my health.
You don't mask the healthy.
That's right.
It's silly to do that.
That's right. And also, I'm so glad that this ends before it gets 11 decaprillion, frillion, thousand degrees in Texas. Because I can't do that with the heat and the mask and the And you can't get in trouble for mask stuff. This is good. He was, I will say, he was getting some pressure. He was getting a lot of pressure about this. We're going to talk about, let me pull this up because I have, there was some legislation that was being introduced that was going to like retroactively make such like edicts completely fine and dandy and all that stuff. And we'll, I'll get into that tomorrow because we're out of time right now. But yeah, so this is good news. I like not having to wear the face diaper, and it takes effect next Wednesday. Businesses can require masks if they want to, but you can't get in trouble for not wearing it. Just so that's finally some good news. All right, today in stupidity.
Woo! Woo! It's John Brennan. He's embarrassed to be a white guy. So he's not fly. He's not pretty fly for a white guy. Listen to what he says.
I'll say, to Claire's point, I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male these days. I mean, what a... light of what I see of my other white male saying, but it just shows that with very few exceptions, like,
yeah, okay, enough of him.
I'm embarrassed of him lying and spying on people using CIA to do it. That's what embarrasses me.
That embarrasses me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brennan, you're an embarrassment without even being white. That does it for us tonight. I'll be on Fox tonight, primetime hour. God bless. Back with you tomorrow.